Good morning. Today's Daf and Yevamos Chaf. We're on Yud Tes, and we just turned to Yud Tes Amud Beis. However, I'm going to turn back to Yud Tes Amud Aleph because we are going to be covering the second half of yesterday's Daf. But just to go back a little bit, just to get a good Havana, a really good understanding in terms of what is about to happen. So again, just in terms of the structure here of the second parak, we go back to the beginning of the second parak and Eishes Achiv Shelo Hayah Bo'Olamo. What's an example of Eishes Achiv Shelo Hayah Bo'Olamo? So there are two examples that are illustrated. One, let's call it mission number one. That's on Daf Yizayin, and one is on mission number two. Mission number two is located on Yud Ches Amud Beis. But anyway, just for purpose of simplicity, we're going to call it Mishnayos 1 and 2. So mission number one, the illustration of Eishes Achiv Shelo Hayah Bo'Olamo is no Levachar Kach Yavam, which means to say that you had Reuven. Reuven was married to a woman. So Rechmanos Reuven dies. And then after the death of Reuven, while his wife is a widow, so now a new brother is born. This we'll call him Levi. And that's Nola. And then afterwards, Shimon does a mitzvah of Yibum. Shimon had a mitzvah of Yibum. And Shimon did the mitzvah of Yibum. So this is what's called Nola V'achar Kach Yavam. And that is an example of Eishes Achiv Shelo Hayah Bo'Olamo, which again, at the simplest level, means that at the birth of Levi, this woman was a widow of Reuven. Levi and Reuven never coexist in this world. So it's a classic example of Eishes Achiv Shelo Hayah Bo'Olamo. There was no dispute on that first Mishnah. That first Mishnah is really straightforward. Then there's another Mishnah. The next Mishnah over here goes over the same scenario, the same construct, but with one notable difference. And that is in the order in which things happen. Reuven dies. Now, Shimon does the mitzvah of Yibum. Then the birth of Levi. And then Shimon dies. So this is now the example of Yavam V'achar Kach Nolad. So what do we say over here? So what we say over here is it's a machlokes between the Tanaim. So in the Mishnah, we had two shitas. We had the shita of the Chachamim. The Chachamim say, this too is an example of Eishes Achiv Shelo Hayah Bo'Olamo. Now for the Chachamim, as we all can hear, it's a bigger chiddush. Because in this scenario over here, when Levi was born, how was Eishes Reuven presented to him? She was presented to him as the wife of Shimon. And he and Shimon did in fact coexist in this world. And clearly, according to the Chachamim, what are we going to say? The Gemara is going to say this, but let's say it really clearly. What are we going to say according to the Chachamim? You can't ignore her history. Meaning historically, she was a wife of Reuven. And so that history has to come into play. And Levi and Reuven never coexist in the world. And therefore, according to the Chachamim, it's Eishes Achiv Shelo Hayah Bo'Olamo. Masha Ein Kein, Rebbe Shimon in the Mishnah number two says no. In this case, I disagree. This is not a case of Eishes Achiv Shelo Hayah Bo'Olamo, and for a really simple reason. Because over here, when Levi was born, what was she? The wife of Shimon. She had a history. Okay, she had a history. Everyone's got a history. I know, that's cliche. That doesn't really help. So, but yes, she had a history. So, but it doesn't matter. When Levi was born, she was the wife of Shimon. So when Shimon dies, Levi and Shimon coexisted, and therefore this is not going to be an example of Eishes Achiv Shelo Hayah Bo'Olamo. All right, that's already just ABCs. That just gets us to the know the Mishnayos. Then, in yesterday's Daf, really going all the way back to Yud Ches Amud Beis, so then we had a machlokas amongst the Amoraim. I know that Rabbi Shimon argues in Mishnah number two. That part's easy. That part's clear. Is Rabbi Shimon also going to be arguing in Mishnah number one as well? So that was a machlokus between Amorayim. So Rav Oshia, which we spent Yud Ches and Yud Tes Amud Aleph discussing, says that when Rabbi Shimon was arguing, not only was he arguing in Mishnah number two, he was also arguing in Mishnah number one, which is amazing. Rabbi Shimon says that he's arguing in Mishnah number one. Mishnah number one, according to Rabbi Shimon, is not going to be a case of Eishes Achiv Shelo Hayah Bo'Olamo, which, if you think about it, is amazing. Because what happened? Reuven dies. And then Levi's born, and then Shimon does the mitzvah of Yibum. So if Levi's birth comes before Shimon doing the mitzvah of Yibum, how is Levi being presented to this woman? As Eishes Achiv Shelo Hayah Bo'Olamo, the wife of a man who they didn't coexist with. They weren't here together in the world with. How in the world could this not be a case of Eishes Achiv Shelo Hayah Bo'Olamo? So that was the Gemara's question, but the Gemara gave an answer. And that is that if you're going to subscribe to Rav Oshia, what you're going to have to say within the sheet of Rabbi Shimon is this idea of Zika. Zika tells us that not only is there a mitzvah, but the mitzvah is so strong, it's so powerful, it will even affect the status of marriage. Meaning if there is a one-on-one Zika between man and woman, that Zika is kikinusa, it's as if they're married. So that means to say that when Reuven dies and now this woman has a Zika to Shimon, so that Zika is going to be strong, so strong, it's ki'ilu that she and Shimon are married. To the extent in which now that when Levi is born, Levi is born into a world in which this woman, even though Shimon hasn't performed the mitzvah of Yibum yet, but it's ki'ilo, they're already married. That's, and I know that's a huge chiddush. The Gemara says it. The Gemara says that's how you're going to have to understand Rav Oshia in the Shita Rabbi Shimon arguing on mission number one, not just on mission number two. All right, already as it is, 5 minutes into the daf already, and that was a lot of information, and it's a lot to digest, it's a lot to process. So totally understandable. Hopefully I presented it clearly, but totally understandable where, you know, you're looking at all this, and that's a lot. That's a lot. That's a lot to digest. Okay, and then what we did is we did the Sheet of Rav Papa. We started the Sheet of Rav Papa yesterday. Rav Papa starts in Yud Tesem at Aleph, and Rav Papa's of the position that Rabbi Shimon only argues on the second Mishnah, but not on the first Mishnah. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to turn back to Yud Tesem at Aleph. I'm going to go a little bit quicker today because we just have a lot to cover. I'm going to go back to Yud Tesem at Aleph, and we're going to start now with Rav Papa introducing his position. So Rav Papa Amar, Yud Tesem at Aleph, it's like about 7 lines from the bottom of the Amud. So B'yavam v'achakach nolag palag Rabbi Shimon, b'nolag v'achakach yavam lo palag. So Rabbi Shimon's not going to be arguing on mission number one, only on mission number two. V'tavar l'rabban nitzarech. Why are the two Mishnayos? If you remember in yesterday's daf, we ask a really simple question. So why present two Mishnayos for the Chachamim? Meaning if the whole purpose of the two Mishnayos was for the Chachamim, give me mission number two, and we would have figured out mission number one. For the Chachamim, mission number two is a much bigger chiddush. So just give me mission number two, and that's all I need. So the Gemara says, "Velozu avzu katani." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but it's style, and stylistically, the Mishnayos do this. Lozu afzu, not just this case, but even this case." Okay, so it's a acceptable style of writing Mishnayos, even though when all said and done, after I have the second Mishnah, I already know the first Mishnah. But it's stylistically acceptable. Tanya Kavasa de Rav Papa, Vityufta de Rav Oshia, and then the Braisa. And now there's going to be a Braisa that's going to be in support of Rav Papa, and it's going to be a clear refutation of Rav Oshia. Again, what's on the table? There's one point of litigation. There's one point of dispute right now in the Gemara, and it will continue to be this way until we get to the next Mishnah, which is all the way on Chaf Amud Aleph. And that is, Rabbi Shimon argues with the Chachamim on Mishnah number two. Is he also arguing on Mishnah number one as well? That's open for discussion. But as we're going to see over the course of this Braisa, we are going to make it clear through the Braisa, he's only arguing on number two and not on number one, which means that we are really supporting Rav Papa and refuting Rav Oshia. Okay, this Braisa's got four parts to it, and each part is going to be dissected by the Gemara. So what we're going to do right now is I'm going to read. We're going to become familiar with each section of the Mishnah. Our understanding of each section right now is not going to be perfect, but at least we'll have the cases down. Number one, there are four parts. Number one, so you have two brothers in this world. One dies without a child. Now, brother number two was ready to do Maimer, and just about to do Maimer, but didn't do Maimer. And then what happens is that a brother is born. So Harishona Yotza, sorry, Shinolo Ach Umeis. Then you have a brother that's born, and then he dies, meaning Shimon. Right, that's brother number two. So Shimon dies. So now there are two widows, because we're assuming now that there's the widow of Reuven and there's also the widow of Shimon as well. So Harishona Yotza Mishumeshes Achiv Shalav Hayaba Olamo. So the widow of Reuven is just that, the widow of Reuven, and therefore Reuven and Levi did not coexist in this world. That's Eshes Achiv Shalav Hayaba Olamo. Ushnei Ochalasa So Mesia Bemes. Now what about the widow of Shimon is concerned? So the widow of Shimon is now eligible for the mitzvah of either Yibam or Chalitza, because Shimon and Levi coexist in this world. Okay, that's case number one. Case number two. So in case number two, we're introducing now one, we're going one step further. A small progression in the case. And that is Shimon did Maimer. Again, what is Maimer? We know already. So Maimer is the rabbinic institution where basically, instead of going from not married to totally married without a step intervening, so what the Chachamim did is they patterned themselves after Kiddushin. And so they introduced now into the world of Yibum a Kiddushin stage, which is called Maimer. So he did Maimer, meaning Shimon did Maimer to the widow of Reuven, and then he dies, and Levi was born. And here it doesn't really matter whether he was born before the Maimer, after the Maimer, really inconsequential. So and then Shimon dies. So Shimon now is leaving a widow and a half. I know that's a funny language. Okay, but in other words, there are two widows. Okay, I understand this, right? Every case of Yibam involves death, and right? Nothing to laugh at, but the just, you know, with the frequency of the discussion, sometimes it just, you know, you just get a little too used to it. Anyway, there are two widows, right? The widow of Reuven, the widow of Shimon. The complication over here is that Shimon did perform mimer to the widow of Reuven. So now that makes the widow of Reuven somewhat connected to Shimon. How connected to Shimon? Well, that's the question. So Harishona Yotze Mishum Eshesachav Shaloya Bolamo. So as far as the first widow is concerned, the widow of Reuven. So that's Eshesachav Shaloya Bolamo. Shimon did mimer according to the Chachamim, according to the Tanakhama. That's great. She did mimer. Mimer doesn't do anything on a Doraisa level. And so ultimately, she is Eshesachav Shaloya Bolamo. Now, as far as the second wife is concerned, the second widow can only do chalitzi, cannot do yibum. Why can't you do yibum here? She's simply the widow of Shimon. Shimon and Levi did coexist in this world. Hold that thought. Hopefully, we're going to come back to it. As we are now on the top of Yud Tesamud Beis, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Biyaso Chalatzesa, Shalachas Mem Poter Tzaresa. Chalatz Lebalas Maimer, Lo Niftarat Tzara. Okay, and Rabbi Shimon here in this case, meaning in case number two, so he slightly disagrees. And he says that either the bia of the chalitza of one is going to exempt the other. However, if chalitza to the balas maimer, so then lo nifter atzara, so then the co-wife is not going to be excused. Well, what is happening over here according to the shita Rabbi Shimon? So once again, stay tuned. The Gemara is going to go back, analyze the shita Rabbi Shimon, and try to understand it a little bit better. Okay, so far we have now two cases over here in the Braisa. Again, they're all same construct. It's Reuven, Shimon, and Levi's born after the death of Reuven. It just happens to be that what did Shimon do? So in case number one, Shimon did nothing. And Rachman and Shimon died. In case number two, Shimon didn't mimer to the widow of Reuven, and then Shimon died. Case number three, right, and as long as you can just see the progression, you're going to see what's going to happen next. So, kanso meis v'achakach no lo ach, osha no lo ach v'achakach, kanso meis, shtein paturus mina chalitza mina yibum. So, if he marries her, so Shimon does the mitzvah of yibum to the widow of Reuven. If he marries her, and then afterwards the brother is born, or the brother is born and afterwards he marries her. So, shtein paturus mina chalitza mina yibum, they're both going to be exempt from Chalitza or from Yibum. In other words, they're both going to be exempt. Why? Because now they are both the widows of Shimon. Shimon married her. They're both the widows of Shimon. And what is she vis-a-vis Levi? Well, when I say she, there are two she's over here. So we're talking now about the widow of Reuven. The widow of Reuven vis-a-vis Levi is Eshes Achiv Shalal Yabalamo. And what's the call wife? The call wife is Sara Servo. Okay. Kanta v'nolach v'ach v'achakach meish. Let's say he marries and afterwards nola lo ach, and then the brother was born. And afterwards afterwards he dies. They're both going to be exempt from chalitz and yibum, divrei meir. That's the shita of meir. Rabbi Shimon omer, ho ubal matzah beheter. So Rabbi Shimon says, look, when he came into this world, he found her in a state of heter. Velo amda alav shas achas beisr. And it was not, there was no Isra at that point in time. You could either do Yimum or you could do Chalitza to whichever one you want. Okay, this fourth case over here now is coming to explain or elucidate whose position. The Gemara's very first point. Meaning right now, Adkan, we just finished the Braisa from beginning to end. And now the whole purpose of the Braisa, just, I know there's so many details here in this Braisa, but the entire purpose of this Braisa is just simply to show that the Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim are arguing only in Mishnah number two, not in Mishnah number one. And now the Gemara, the first thing the Gemara is going to do is, it's going to make exactly that point. Ha'abava de'seif alaman ketanila. This last case of the Braisa. What was it there for? Ilei mele Rab Meir ketanila michdi. I'm sorry. Ilei mele Rab Meir ketanila. You tell me that that last case of the Braisa is there for the Shita Rab Meir michdi. So, lo shani le Rab Meir ben yibum v'achakach nola, ben nola v'achakach yibum. Remember now, according to the Shita of Rab Meir, it doesn't matter which order you're going. Whether the second brother first does yibum, then the third brother is born, or whether the third brother is born and then the second brother does yibum. According to Rameir, parenthetically, by the way, is the sheet of the Chachamim. So according to Rameir, it literally doesn't matter. And if it doesn't matter, according to Rameir, le arvinu v'lisninu. And so that what you should do is you should truncate. and take case number 3 and case number 4 of the Brisa and just simply consolidate it into one case. So El Alav LeRabbi Shimon. And so the only reason why the fourth case is introduced is for Shitas Rabbi Shimon. Uviyibam v'achar kach nolad palig. And that means to say that Rabbi Shimon's only arguing in the case of Yibam v'achar kach nolad, where Shimon did Yibam and then afterwards Levi was born. That's where Rabbi Shimon argues. However, but if it's a case of where Levi was born and then afterwards Yibam is performed, so then there's no machlokas, Rabbi Shimon would agree with the Chachamim Chamim over here, meaning Rabbi Meir, that this is a case of Eishetachiv Shalom Yabolamo and Shmamina. Yeah, so Shmamina. So the Gemara says, so now that we introduced ourselves to the Braisa, and by virtue of the fact that cases 3 and 4 are nearly identical with another, with one difference in terms of order, and why did the Braisa have to go ahead and repeat it? It's not for the Shita Rabbi Meir, it's clearly for the Shita Rabbi Shimon. And only in the case of Yabam v'achar kach nolad. Sorry. Only in the case of nolad v'achar kach Yabam. Right, yes. Only in the case of Nola v'achar kach Yabam are we not going to have a debate between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim, but in the case of Yabam v'achar kach Nolad, where first Shimon does Yibam and afterwards Levi is born, in that case and only in that case is there going to be a machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. Okay, so the truth of the matter is that the entire purpose of the Braisa now has been laid out in terms of why we brought it, what we look to gain from there. And we have now supported the Shita of Rav Papa, that Rabbi Shimon only argues in Mishnah number 2, not Mishnah number 1. And Rav Oshi is refuted. And now, as long as we're here, and as long as we go to the Braisa, so the Gemara is going to do what it does, and that is, it's going to go over a number of points in the Braisa, because we would like some clarification at some points in the Braisa. Amar Mar. Amar Hasheni Lasos Maimer Biyavimto V'lo Yispik Lasos Maimer Biyavimto Hashino Lo Ach So, in our analysis of the Braisa, we're going to go to first to case number 1. Case number 1, where what did Shimon do? Nothing. Shimon didn't do anything. But the Braisa over here has a almost like a drama. Like the Braisa is like, yeah, but Shimon wanted to do Mimer. He was just about to do Mimer. Okay, so that makes for great drama. But as far as Bryce's are concerned, Bryce's are not interested in drama. Bryce's are just interested in, and the halach is just interested in, what happened. Just give me the facts, right? Oh, you wanted to? I'm so happy. Okay, good. But just give me the facts. So what, and the language of the Braisa, he was just about to. So my amad my lo isbeik, so I avid aviv, I lo avid lo avid. And that's exactly the Gemara's question. Did he do Mimer or did he not do Mimer? Let's just be clear. And don't tell me what he wanted to do. So Ella Aman Midaita Vlo Ispik Midaita Ella Bal Karcha Udalo Karebi. So the Gemara says, so what the Braisa over here is doing is it is alluding to another dispute specific to that within Mimer. Okay, so Ditanya. And I'm sorry, let me just translate. He did it, but he did it Bal Karcha. He did Mimer, but it was not consensual. Now Mimer is just a declaration. It's very much like Kedushin. So by Kedushin, so what a man does is that I'm going to be Mekadesh you, but just to be next to a woman, just to say the words, that's insufficient. In other words, by Kedushin, what you need is you need consent. You need her to say, I accept the Kedushin. By her, let's say, for example, the Kedushin is going to be done through Kesef. So what she needs to do is that she needs to extend her hand in order to receive the Kesef Kedushin. She has to do something that clearly shows that she's consensual. Sticking the money in her hand or putting the ring on her finger in of itself is not enough to affect Kedushin. Okay, now question. Mimer. Does Mimer need consent? It's a great question. Not only is it a great question, it's a machlokas. And we're going to see it right now. Udolo Karebi. Just wait 1 second. We're getting there. Did Tanya, we learned in a braisa. So Mimer bivim to Shlomi Data. So what if you do Mimer to your Yavama, but you do so without her consent? Rebbe Omer Kana v'chachamim Omerim lo Kana. It's a machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim. And the Gemara goes on to explain, my time the Rebbe Gamar mi bia di Yavama. Ma bia di Yavama bakarcha af kedushin di Yavama bakarcha. So what Rebbe will tell you is that, look, Mimer is part of the process of Yibum. Yibum can be done without consent. Now again, it's an indelicate detail within Yibum. But it's true. It's just simply factual. The mitzvah of Yibum can be done without consent. That shidduch is min hashamayim, and it can be done without consent. I'll remind everybody, myself included, that the Gemara told us earlier that if it's a clearly inappropriate relationship, age-wise or whatever, it's clearly inappropriate, so Beis Din is required to step in, and Beis Din is required to guide and consult the Yavam and the Yavama appropriately. However, okay, and it does soften it a little bit, but there's no way of softening it. It could be done by karcha. That's the mitzvah of Yibum. Well, if Mimer's a step, Danny, this is exactly your point. If Mimer's a step in terms of getting to Yibum, well, Mimer also could be done by karcha. That's the Shita Rebbe. V'rabban and Gamri mikidushin the Amma. Ma kidushin the Amma midaita of kidushin the Yavama midaita. Well, the Chachamim will tell you that's true. Mimer is a step in Yibum. But what is Mimer? Mimer is not part of the Yibum process. Mimer was legislation and institution inserted by the Chachamim so that it behave a little bit more like a marriage. Oh. So basically what the Chachamim did is they took Kiddushin from marriage and they legislated that, inserted that into the Yibum process. But they kept its dynamic, they kept its persona of that of Kiddushin. And so, and by Micah Miflagi, and the Gemara here really spells it out. So, Av Kedushin Divama Midaita. I'm sorry. So, Ma Kedushin Divama Midaita, Av Kedushin Divama Midaita. By Micah Miflagi, Mar Savra Mila Divma, Mi Mila Divma, Havale Lamelef. Omar Savra Mila Tikdushin, Mi Mila Tikdushin, Havale Lamelef. And really, the Gemara over here spells it out. If you want to see, Tosas even spells it out even more. But basically, look, the Mimer is rabbinic legislation. That part we understand. And when the Chachamim came in and they added it, so do they have this exhibit more of a Yibum type personality, or do they have it operate like more like a Kedushin type personality? What nature of Mimer was it given? Good. That's exactly the Machlokas. So now going back to the first Brisa, the first part of the Brisa, where the Brisa says he wanted to do Mimer, but he didn't get to do Mimer. So it's not just drama. What happened was that he did Mimer. It just happened to me that he did it without consent. And what the Brisa is touching on is whether or not Mimer without consent is considered going to be a valid Mimer. And as we just learned together, it's a machlokus between the Tanaim. Next. Okay, we just quoted the whole second part of the Brisa. Good. Now the Gemara wants to do a little bit of analysis on the second part of the Brisa. What's going on over there? So Rabbi Shimon Ahayakai. So the Rabbi Shimon in that second part of the Brisa is going on which case specific? So are we talking about where the brother was born and then Mimer was then done? So the Gemara says, Hamar Benola, Vesof Yavam Lo Palag, Rabbi Shimon. So it can't be. Because remember, in other words, this Brisa clearly operating under the assumption that Rabbi Shimon says that even if Shimon would have married her, but if the brother was born before the marriage, so then from the brother's perspective, this is Eishes Achiv Shelo Yaba Olamo, because she's the widow of Reuven. So if that would be true if Shimon married her, it for sure would be true if Shimon just did Mimer to her. So the Gemara says, Ela she'ela a'asa bo Mimer v'achakach nola lo ach. So we're talking about where first Mimer was done and then a brother was born. Okay, so what we're just doing is we're fine-tuning the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. In section number 2 of the Brisa, Rabbi Shimon's arguing on the Tanakhama. It's just now a question of what exactly are the circumstances in which they're arguing. They're arguing where first Mimer was done, then Levi was born. Ah. So, v'achar kach no lach. Chalas labalas Mimer lo nifter at Sarah. So remember now, in that second part, what did Rabbi Shimon say? If Chalitza was done to the balas Mimer, that's the widow of Reuven, so then lo nifter at Sarah, so then did nothing for the Sarah. Now, my time, Mishum dehavit Sarah, vada ubala Mimer suffik. Because as far as the co-wife is concerned, is the co-wife a widow of Shimon? Vaday, meaning yes, that's all she is. Now, what is the balas Mimer vis-a-vis Shimon? We don't know. Suffolk. What do you mean we don't know? So again, we're going to remind each other what we learned in yesterday's daf. According to Rabbi Shimon, what is Mimer? We don't know. Rabbi Shimon's of the position that it's all or nothing. And I know those are two extreme viewpoints. But that's what we said in yesterday's daf. in terms of Rabbi Shimon's view of Maimer. It's all or nothing. So that means to say that when Shimon did Maimer to Ashes, to Ashes Ruvain, so it's either she's the wife of Shimon or she's the widow of Ruvain. One or the other. Okay. So now, Ein Safik Motzi Midei Vaday. So if Chalitza was only done to the Balas Maimer, was she the widow of Shimon? The answer is maybe. It's not a great answer. But that's the answer. The answer is maybe. So then a suffix will not remove a vadai. Because now is the actual wife of Shimon a co-wife to this woman? Well, we don't know. Exactly the point. So that's why Chalitza done to the Ashes Reuven is going to do nothing vis-a-vis the actual widow of Shimon. Okay. Adkan. Yasev Rav Menashe Bar Zvid Kameh de Rav Hunav Yasev Kameh my time of the Rabbi Shimon. So my time of the Rabbi Shimon Kedamer Taima. Hova Matzah Beheter Velo Amda Alav Shas Achas Beiser. So the Gemara says, okay, now what's behind the Shita Rabbi Shimon? So what's behind the Shita Rabbi Shimon? The Braisa says it, but the Gemara is just setting us up. And that is that when Levi was born, meaning in the case in which Reuven dies. Now we're going easy now. We're just looking at Mishnah number two. The fourth case of the Braisa, Mishnah number two, however you want to say it, it's nice and easy. Reuven dies, Shimon marries Ashes Reuven, and then Levi is born, okay? And what is behind the Shita, Rabbi Shimon? Very simple. When Levi's born, how is Ashes Reuven being presented to him? No longer is Ashes Reuven, but rather Ashes Shimon. And Shimon and Levi coexisted. And therefore, this is not a case of Ashes Achiv Shalai Yabo Olamo. And Kavan, I'm just going to quote the Gemara again, that line of the Gemara again. Kavan, I'm sorry, not Kavan. Ho'el uba matza beheter, lo amdalav shas achas biser. Because when the moment that Levi was born, so this woman presents herself as heter to him, because she is the wife of Shimon. That part's easy. Ella, my time of the Rabbanan. But what's the reason for the Rabbanan? Because in that very same case, what the Chachamim will tell you is that that's not a case of Eishes Achiv Shalai Yabo Olamo. In fact, that is a case of... I'm sorry. That is a case... Sorry. Okay. That is a case of Eishes Achiv Shalai Yabo Olamo. But why? Meaning, we just explained Rabbi Shimon, and the truth of the matter is Rabbi Shimon's position is very mistaber. Right? As I pointed out, as we all introduced ourselves to the two Mishnayos. In Mishnah number one, you really hear the Shita of the Chachamim. In Mishnah number two, you really hear the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. But we know in Mishnah number two, the Chachamim argue in Rabbi Shimon. So what's the basis of that argument? That's the Gemara's question. Amar Krav V'lacha Lo Li'isha V'yibma. So you're going to marry her and V'yibma. Now that's a funny term. That's a verb. What does that mean, V'yibma? Well, V'lacha Lo Li'isha. So, Adayin Yivum and Rishomen Allaha. V'yibma comes to tell me that you have to look at her history, meaning if she is a Yavama, if she was a widow who was taken by her brother for marriage, she still is historically a Yavama, and that means that you can't ignore the fact that in this particular, I'm just saying this, in this particular case, she is Ashes Reuven. She was the wife of Reuven. So, Allah Hadidnan. So the Gemara says, really interesting. So, let me see if I got this straight. This woman was married to Reuven. Reuven dies. Shimon does the mitzvah of Yibum. Then Levi is born, right? That's mission number two. So we have to say, in terms of understanding the Chachamim, that the way the Chachamim view Levi's relationship to this woman is that she comes in not just as the wife of Shimon, which is true, but also as the widow of Reuven as well. Meaning her Yivumim is still on her. Her status of being a Yivam is still on her. So the Gemara says, that's so interesting. Consider the following. So, Elahadanan, Kansarekish Lacholdavar. Remember halacha? We did this halacha already earlier in the Masechta, but now we're going to say it again. And we're going to struggle a little bit to understand it. So, Vamar of Yosef Rebbe Chanina, Malamit Shemagarsha Begeta Machzira. So, you divorce her, with a get and Machzira, and you can take her back. Meaning, just a regular case of Yibum. Where? What happened was, is that you married your brother's wife. That's Eishes Achiv, but you have a mitzvah of Yibum. So, you do it. Good. So, you married her. Via the mitzvah of Yibum. Now what happens is that the marriage is not working out. So, well, you divorce her. Okay. Can you marry her again? As long as she doesn't marry another man. So, right. So if she marries another man, then you can't. But in other words, but can you marry her again? So here would be the argument that you can't marry her again. In other words, you had a mitzvah of Yibum. You did the mitzvah of Yibum. That mitzvah is now over.
She's your wife.
Oh, she was your wife. but she also was your brother's wife. So maybe you can make the argument now that she reverts back to being your brother's wife. I should say shesach. Ah, but you have a mitzvah of yibum. No, you had a mitzvah of yibum, and you did your mitzvah of yibum. So maybe now you can't marry her again. The halacha over here is clear. You're allowed to marry her again. Once you marry her, she became your wife. And the Eishes Achisr goes away in total. What are we hearing right now as we say that? What we're hearing now is that the first Yibum now is gone. It's totally dissolved. Okay, that's what we're hearing. But that's problematic. Because in explaining the Chachamim of Eishes Achiv, Shalom Yabalama, what's the Svara? The Svara is she still carries with her Yibum status. Well, which one is it? She still carry her Yibum status, or is the Yibum status totally dissolved? And it's going to get a little, this part's admittedly going to get a little bit confusing because you know which one is right? They're both right. Okay, fine. So maybe the Gemara is not even, it's so funny, by the way, I went one step beyond the Gemara. The Gemara is not even bothered so much about the question of whether you can remarry her or not remarry her. Meaning, if let's say her Yibum status is still maintained to whatever degree, so not only do you need to divorce her, you also need to give her Chalitza as well.
She
did a
get with Chalitza.
Correct. So the Gemara says, well, once you marry her, she is your wife. And that means to say, Isha l'chol davar, meaning, at this point in time, she is your lawfully wedded wife for all intents and purposes. So, in other words, if this marriage would like to be terminated, a get is all that's necessary. So the Gemara says, well, what do you do with the word v'yidma? Meaning, you, the Chachamim, tell me that, what is her status after marrying the Yavam? Okay, no longer she Yavama. She's now Isha. She's a wife. Okay, what about v'yidma? Right, meaning, can you ignore that? So Hakasav Rachmana v'yivma. So the Gemara says you can't ignore it. Meaning, she's a wife, but also she's a yivama as well. Meaning, her yivama status is going to continue. So and legabi which halacha eishes achiv shalaya ba'olamo. Meaning to say that in the case of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, where Reuven dies, Shimon marries her, and then Levi's born. That is yavam v'achakach nolad. You can't ignore the fact that she is a yivama. She's Reuven's widow. And vis-a-vis Levi, that means that she's going to be Eishes Achiv Shelo Yabo Lamo. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we're doing now is we're splitting the decision over here. Is she a wife or is she a Vama? The answer is yes, and the answer is yes. Well, how do I figure it out? Umara Isa, that's the Gemara's question. Mistabra, Shadi Atera, Atera, Shadi Yesura, Yesura. So the Gemara says, what we're going to do is as follows. Look, we know that she's being pulled in two directions. In terms of an Isha and a Yavama. We know that. And so what we're going to do is that if we're pulling in the direction of Ishus, so Shdi Hetera Ahetera. There is a halacha, a drasha, that would allow for more of a heter. The heter over here, I know it sounds funny, but the heter of divorcing her. What does that mean, the heter of divorcing her? It means the heter of her being allowed to go ahead and marry another man. So for that, we know the Torah describes her as an Isha, v'lachalo li'isha, and so therefore in terminating the marriage, so we're going to be mekel. Mekel in that, you only need a get. You don't need a chalitza. Okay, but when we're talking about Isser lagabe what? Eishes achiv shelo haya ba'olamo. So when we're talking about Isser, and we know the Torah describes her as being a yivma, so for that we're going to take the application, not the application, but the description of her being a Yavama and apply it in the context of Eishes Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. Because her being a Yavama is restrictive. Eishes Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo is restrictive. We're going to take the Isser and we're going to connect it to an Isser. Okay. So in other words, basically there's a duality. There's a duality to the woman when the Yavam does the mitzvah of Yibam with her. In that she is his wife and she's also Yavama. And how does that duality express itself? In different ways and depending on the context. Okay. Adkan. Now, admittedly now, we're pretty much done. The Gemara is from here until the Mishnah in a couple lines from now. It's just one short follow-up question, which quite frankly is going to be a little bit complicated. But we're pretty much done now with the entire discussion of the Gemara. And that ends a really long and slightly difficult sugya. In that, we ask the question that What's the case? The Mishnayos here in the second parak give us two cases. One case in the first Mishnah, second case in the second Mishnah. In the second Mishnah, we know there's a machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim, vis-a-vis whether that is a good example of Eishet Achiv Shalaya Ba'olamo. According to the Chachamim, it is. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's not. Does Rabbi Shimon also argue in the first Mishnah? And that is what we just finished discussing between yesterday and today. Okay, and admittedly, a somewhat difficult sugya. But when all said and done, comes out now that we have a machlokas between the Chacham and Rabbi Shimon, certainly in case number two, perhaps in case number one, although when I say perhaps, the Gemara ends up refuting the Shita of Rabbi Hoshea, and we're left with just Rav Papa, which means that in case number one, there's no debate. Even Rabbi Shimon will tell you that that's the case of Eishes Achiv Shelo Yabo Lama. And the only debate in now is going to be in case number two. Okay. Remember, what did we say for Rabbi Shimon? We had a svar for Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says is that however you encountered her, okay, good. That's how you're going to be. Meaning, Hoel Uba Umatza Beheter. So when Levi encountered the widow of Reuven, but when Levi was born, she was no longer the widow of Reuven, but she was the wife of Shimon. So then, from Levi's perspective, this is not going to be a case of Eishes Achiv Shelo Yabo Lama. Good. That was the svara that we gave on behalf of Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, really, let's take that svara and let's see if we could play it out in another circumstance. Ula Rabbi Shimon, Damar Ho Ba Matza Beheta V'lam Da'alav Shas Achas Be'eser Elamiata. So the Gemara says, consider now the following case. And if you have some sort of chart over here, it's going to be really helpful. Achosa Me'imo Shenasa Achiv Me'aviv. So you have now a brother and a sister marrying one another, but they're not brothers. They're not brother and sister marrying one another because the brother and sister are not allowed to marry one another. So they do not share parents. Okay, fine. And the achakach nolad ach umes. And then what happens is that you have each one of their parents, of this husband and wife, each one of their parents now ends up divorcing death, marrying one another. And they produce now a child. Okay, so this child over here now is going to be a sibling to both the husband and the wife. Okay, I know.
Yes, and it happened.
No. For sure. I could see this happening in that they know each other and, right, okay, fine. So yes, and the head's spinning right now, but yes, so this brother now is going to be married, is going to be a sibling to both the husband and the wife. To the husband on the side of the father, and to the paternal, and to the wife on the side of the mother. Now, I need that, by the way, because, as we're going to see, there's going to be a yibum possibility. Now, umes. And so what happens is, Rachmanis, the husband, now dies. So, tisya beim. So now what the Gemara says is, look, let him do yibum. I know it's his sister, but let him do yibum. Ho uva umatza beheter. So because when he was born, so at the time of his birth, she was in a state of a heter. Umatza beheter. And the Gemara basically is saying, look, Rabbi Shimon, you really like this svara? If you like this svara so much, so in this scenario over here, albeit it's unlikely, but in this scenario over here, so then that svara would then dictate that you should be able to do yibum to his very own sister. So the Gemara says, really? Isser achoso lehechen azo. What are you going to do? You're going to ignore the isser of achoso. So hachanami isser achiv shalaya bolam lehechen azo. So the Gemara says, okay, Rabbi Shimon, let's go back to our case over here. In our case over here, so again, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Reuven died, Shimon did yibum, and then Levi's born. So now, what was the svar for Rabbi Shimon? When Levi was born into this world. So matzah bar b'shas heter. Okay. But when Shimon dies, so now this woman that's being presented to him. So it's true that when Levi was born, she was b'shas heter. But you know that she is a widow, again, Rachmanus, now that she's a widow again, doesn't she come now with not only a widow of Shimon, but also a widow of Reuven as well? Meaning, if you're ready to argue that, well, the Isra of Achosa, where did that go? In other words, it didn't disappear. So I'd say the same thing over here. The Isra of Eishes Achiv Shelo Yabo Lama, where did that go? So the Gemara says, Hai Yisura Deleisle Hetera, Hai Yisura Deisle Hetera. So the Gemara says, you can't, that's a, it's an unfair comparison. Because in the case of achoso, is there ever a heter for achoso? The answer, of course, is no. No. In other words, there is no issur for achoso. If someone is your sister, you cannot do the mitzvah of yibum, as we already illustrated back in the first Mishnah. And there's no heter for that. Masha'en kein eshesach. Is there a heter for eshesach? 100%. That's called the mitzvah of yibum. The mitzvah of yibum, built into the mitzvah of yibum, is a heter for eshesach. So over here, you can't compare. It's an unfair comparison to compare the Isser of Eshesach to the Isser of Achoso. The Isser of Eshesach built into that Isser is the mitzvah of Yibum. Mashenki, that's not true by Achoso. So that's why, even though Rabbi Shimon has this svara of whole matzah b'shas heter, so even though that's true, but as we just illustrated, it's not going to work in other circumstances. It only works in the context of Eshesach of Shalaya Ba'olamo. Okay. We don't hope. We're right. Correct. Meaning as no. We say that by Rabbi Eliezer. Anyway, no. In other words, everything we're doing right now is learning Torah. Meaning, but as far as the halacha is concerned, so the halacha falls like the chachamim. Yeah. Okay. Klal Amru. Okay. We're going to start the Mishnah. We're going to start the Gemara. I myself am a little bit drained. But we do. I don't want to fall further behind. So we're gonna do the Mishnah, and we're gonna do a little bit of the Gemara. I'll just get us to the bottom of the Amud, and then we'll take it from there. Klal Amar Amru Biyavama. So they said the following general principles as it relates to Yavama. Kol she iser erva lo chalitza v'lo misya bema. So if she's an erva, so nothing. No chalitza, no yibum. Meaning the entire beginning of the Masechta up until this point in time. But obviously what the Mishnah now is going to do is it's going to set us up for the next point. Isser mitzvah, isser kedusha, choletzes v'lo misya bemes. But if it's an isser mitzvah, or if it's an isser kedusha, so then you'll do chalitza, but you will not do yibum. Okay, what does that mean? Stay tuned. We're going to explain. Achose she yivimta. So now let's say it is sister, which is yivama. Choletzes v'lo misya bemes. So you do chalitza or you do yibum. What is that case referring to? Again, please hold. We're going to come back to that one as well. So, Isser mitzvah shnios midivrei sofim. Isser kedusha alman l'kohen gadol grusha v'chalutz l'kohen hedya mamzer son nesin l'Yisrael ubasi sol nesin l'mamzer. So here what the Mishnah does for us is that the Mishnah goes on to explain and describe what exactly is mitzvah and what exactly is kedusha. Isser mitzvah, isser kedusha. As far as the isser mitzvah is concerned, shnios midivrei sofim. That are the secondary arayas, the derivative arayas. What are we talking about? So in tomorrow's daf, we're going to get a much better sense of what we're talking about. And that is that aside from all the arayos in the Torah, which is coming up just a short couple of weeks from now, meaning this coming week is Tazria, then Mitzorah, and then Achremos, and Achremos, you have all the arayos. So aside from the ones that are listed in the Torah, the Chachamim added, tomorrow's daf, we're going to do all the additional arayos. See, they're called shnios or secondary, meaning that what the Chachamim did is they added a layer, a buffer, in terms of not only can you not, does the Torah prohibit these women, but the Chachamim added these as a geder, as a safeguard measure for the Torah. And that's called an iser, and that's called a mitzvah. Okay, the iser kedusha is aman l'kohen gadol, grusha v'chalutz, l'kohen kedjot, mamzer son nesin l'Yisrael, ubas Yisrael nesin l'mamzer. And as far as the iser kedusha is concerned, so that's all the lavim in the Torah, and the Mishnah just gave us a series of them. We'll come back to that in just a bit. So the Gemara says, okay, the first line of our Mishnah is a review of what we've seen earlier in the Masechta, but the truth of the matter is we knew it already. So why would the Mishnah tell us something that we knew already? So the Gemara says, Amira from Bar Papa, Lasuye, Tzaras Islandis. It's coming to include also Tzaras Islandis as well. Remember, we discussed this back on Yudaf Yud Beis, right? Yudaf and Yud Beis, those were all the Erva equivalents that we discussed, meaning they're not Arias, but for various reasons, they are erva equivalents. One of them is the co-wife of an islandess, right? We debated over there, disputed whether or not the co-wife of an islandess is going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Yibum. So Uchid Rabasi, and we're saying over here that's including, meaning that our Mishnah, by using the words klal, is coming to include Tzaras Islandess, and that is going like the Shita of Rabasi, who says that Tzaras Islandess is going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Yibum. Igadamri kosha asura ish koshi isura erva hud asiri sarasa Halo Isura Isur Erva Tsarasa Lo Asir Lemute Mayamar Lemute Tsarasalanis Udalo Kravasi. Alternatively, our mission is not coming to include the case, but rather just the opposite, to exclude the case. Because our mission is telling us that only when the woman is an erva, then and only then the co-wife of an erva is going to be exempt. But if it's not an erva, even though it's what we described earlier as an erva equivalent, but it's not an erva mamish. And therefore, our Mishnah is coming to exclude Saras Alanis, which means that our Mishnah is not going like the Shita Ravasi. Right? You remember at the back on Daf Yud Beis, after going through all these erva equivalents, the Gemara concluded, one of the conclusions was is that Saras Alanis is in fact not going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Yibum, meaning obligated in the mitzvah of Yibum, the co-wife of an Alanis. Anyway, Achosa Shi Yivimta, Achosa Daman. So the Gemara says, the sister of who? Ilema de Isser, mitzvah kevin de medaraisa, ramya kamei, pagaba achos de kukaso. So the Gemara says that midaraisa, if it's just a lav, which that means that there really is still a mitzvah of Yibam, the lav will prevent me from doing the mitzvah of Yibam, which we're going to be discussing in more detail at the end of today's daf, which means really tomorrow. But still, it means, however, that there's a mitzvah of Yibam, there's a zika. And now, if we're talking about a woman, I'm sorry, the sister of such a woman, that's what's called achos zikukaso. And as we discussed already numerous times, achos zikukaso is prohibited. You're not allowed to marry achos zikukaso, albeit rabbinically, but still. So, ela achoso de iser erva. So we're talking about the sister of iser erva. That is a woman you are, in fact, allowed to marry. You're allowed to marry the sister of an erva? Yeah, because the sister of an erva has no zika whatsoever, meaning the zika there is totally dissolved. And so therefore, you're allowed to marry the sister of such a woman. Okay. Iser mitzvah shnios, amai karele iser mitzvah. So why is it that we call the shnios an iser mitzvah? What's the mitzvah? So amar abai, mitzvah l'shmo, divrei chachamim, and the mitzvah are very simple. We're instructed by the Torah to go and listen to the chachamim. And so if the chachamim tell us something, kol asher yerucha, anything they instruct us to do, we have to follow. Iser kedusha, amal kohen gadol, grusha v'chulutz l'kohen hedger, v'amai karele iser kedusha. And why is it called kedusha? Dichsiv, the pasuk says, kedoshim yu l'elokechem. Because the Kohanim are subject to having more Kedusha. Rabbi Yehuda Machlif, Iser Mitzvah Amal HaKohen Gadol, Grusha V'chutz LaKohen Hedjot. So now, Rabbi Yehuda, so in his version of the Mishnayos, so he has just the opposite. The Iser Mitzvah is the Amana to the Kohen Gadol, the Grusha V'chutz LaKohen Hedjot. V'amai Karele Iser Mitzvah. Now, why does he call an Iser Mitzvah? Dichsi Ve'la Mitzvos. Because it says that these are the mitzvahs, Isser Kedusha, Shnios Medivrei Sofrim. Now the Isser Kedusha, that are the secondary arise. V'amai Karele Isser Kedusha, Amar Abai, Kol Mekayim Divrei Chachamim, Nikar Kadosh. Because by following the words of the Chachamim, you are going to be a holier person. You're called a Kadosh. Amalei Rav V'chol Shehenim Mekayim Divrei Chachamim, Kadosh Udolo Mikrei, Rasha Nami Lo Mikrei. Wait, 1 second. There is a lot of open area. In other words, if you're not following the Divrei Chachamim, So the only thing absent from you is just simply the label, the designation of being Kadosh. Meaning, if you don't follow the Chachamim, you know what you are? You're much worse than just not being Kadosh. So the Gemara says, Ela Amarava, Kadosh, Kadosh, Etzmecha B'Mutalach. So Rava says, no. The reason why you're called Kadosh is not because if you follow the Chachamim, you are by definition a Kadosh, because the implication is wrong. It means that Kadesh atzmacha b'mutalach. So sanctifying yourself with something that's permitted to you, meaning the Torah permits it, but the Chachamim say to refrain. So in doing so, you're being mikadesh yourself, right? Similar to a nazir, right? A nazir who's taking things in this world that are permitted and making it prohibited to himself, so the Torah describes them as being a kadosh. So all of us, when we're following the Chachamim, which we are required to do, but when we do, so we are going to be now in a status of being having extra kedusha, being putting ourselves by refraining from something which is permitted to us. Okay, Adkan, we're going to stop over here. Aman l'kohen gadol. Okay, that'll be our next stop. Our pickup tomorrow. Tomorrow, I think I'm going to go a little bit longer just to make up some ground. I know we fell a little bit behind. Tomorrow, also, we're introducing ourselves to the Shnios. So I wonder how I'm going to be able to do both. I'll do both. Okay, that doesn't matter. Anyway, let's recap a really long and difficult daf today, and no sugarcoating, meaning it was a hard daf today. But the basic structure of the Gemara, the outline of the Gemara, hopefully is really clear, right? I endeavored really to make the outline of the Gemara really clear today, and that is that Eishes Achiv Shelo Yabo Lamo. So our two Mishnayos here in the beginning of the second parak in which in the first Mishnah, that is a textbook example of Eishes Achiv Shelo Hayah Be'olamo. In the second Mishnah, it is not so textbook in that, subject to a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. And so what we did over the last couple of days is, number one, litigated whether or not Rabbi Shimon argues in the first Mishnah as well. Rav Oshia says yes, Rav Papa says no. And then what we also did in the last couple of days, we went over Svaros. Meaning, if you're going to assume that Rabbi Shimon's arguing on the first Mishnah, and according to Rabbi Shimon, that's not an example of Eishes Achiv Shelo Hayah Be'olamo, why would that be? And the Svara, really, really powerful Svara of the Gemara, is that because Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that Zika is Kekenusa. It's like you're married. Now we swung back to the second Mishnah, because according to Rav Papa, they're only arguing on the second Mishnah, and they're not arguing on the first Mishnah. What are the Svaras behind their positions in the second Mishnah? So we have a Svara for the Rabbi Shimon, and we have a Svara for the Chachamim as well. The Svara for Rabbi Shimon is Ho Umasaba Bishas Heter. When Levi was born, since Shimon already did Yibum before Levi was born, so now he finds a Bishas Heter. That would be the Svara for Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara wants to know, does that Svara work in other places? Not really. Okay. And then what was the Svara for the Chachamim? The Svara for the Chachamim is, despite the fact that Shimon did Yibum with her, she's still a Yavama. In other words, she still has a semblance, she has a history of being a Yavama. So that vis-a-vis Levi must look at her, Levi who was born after Shimon did Yibam, but still, Levi must look at her as the widow of Reuven. Her history comes into play. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's not true, meaning it's not totally true. If Shimon wants to divorce her, what does he have to do? He only has to give her a get. He doesn't have to give her chalitza. If you're telling me that she still has remnants of her Yibam, shouldn't she need to do chalitza? And to that, what the Gemara pointed out is that we have to balance out the fact that the Torah calls her an Isha, and also the Torah calls her a Yavama as well, and it's a balancing act between those two. And the Gemara balanced it out for us. And then our next mission, which we start in Chaf Aman Aleph, so discusses what if, let's say she's not an Erva, but let's say she's a Lav, let's say she's an Issa de Rabbanan. What happens under those circumstances? So it doesn't obliterate the Zika, but what it does, however, is that it impedes you from doing the mitzvah of Yibum. Okay, and then we just went and we're specific regarding the terminology of what is considered an Isser Mitzvah, what's considered an Isser Kedusha. Regardless, the halacha comes out to be the same. It's just a question of how to label things.